Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's me.
I bloody nailed that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, first time I was actually kind of stunned. Like, oh, perfect. Hey, before we get started, quick shout out.
Yep.
Actually, I've got two things to mention before we get started.
All right.
Number one, thanks to listener Cal Spoor on Twitter,
yep,
who pointed out that we are now both on Akinator the Web Genie.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which, for anybody who doesn't know, is you think of somebody and you go on this, I think it's an app as well,
yep,
and it asks you a series of questions and it narrows it down until it comes up with the person you're thinking of. And I guess it's user-submitted people in there.
Yes,
mostly
yes.
Famous people, but now we're also on it.
We're bottom rung, but we made it.
Yeah, exactly. What's weird is it's quite, because I'm like, oh, if I'm on there, I should figure out. It's actually quite kind of difficult to guess yourself when you're on there.
Because you know too much about yourself.
I know too much about myself. And it's like, is this person famous? And I'm like, well, no, but...
But if I'm on this, then
I don't know. But
where's the
I don't
bottom
know,
rung
the
famous
answer
button?
Or they'll be like, is this person married? And I'm like, well, I know the answer. But do they know the answer?
That's right, yeah. Right? You try to get ahead of the system.
Mm-hmm, you can't do it.
You can't.
Second thing, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about a podcast that I like a lot called Do Go On.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of friends of mine, and they do a report on something while the other one person does a report and the other two members of the podcast sort of try and drag them down.
Yes.
With unnecessary questions.
Absolutely.
And badgering. And Jess, who is normally on the show, is touring for the comedy festival. She, mm-hmm, she couldn't be there. So they got me in and I did an episode on the Marvel Universe.
And you wore her yellow sweater, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Did
yeah.
you actually wear it or was
no,
that
that's
just,
mine. That
you
was
son
mine.
Of a bitch.
Anyway, that's on the iTunes and I talked
I did give it a listen. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Actually, because you talk about the history of comics.
A little bit, yeah.
And in kind of and all these kind of interesting twists and turns that happened along the way and the stuff that happened between Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and who created certain characters and shake-ups at DC and Marvel and how Marvel nearly went bankrupt a couple of times and selling filing cabinets. It was I learned some stuff and
right.
I never learn anything.
Oh,
so if that's if
pretty
that's
good.
Something to go by.
Now, I should let you know that I did go off like 2 pages of notes and a lot of half-remembered things, so I probably got some things wrong, but I don't want to hear about it. Do not email in.
I'll tell you what, though.
Yes.
I want to hear about it. So
oh, okay,
just,
great.
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
I don't want to know.
Fantastic.
I don't want to know. But I'll tell you what I do want to know, Mason.
Mm.
I want to know what you thought of the new Star Trek Beyond trailer 2.
Every time I hear that it's called Star Trek Beyond, I think of that old Madness song that goes, one step beyond, except I hear Star Trek Beyond. It's one of those. It's one of those old Scar songs.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Is that good for you, though? Is that a good thing?
No, I have a fun little chuckle.
Excellent.
You know what? The last trailer we saw for this...
You're the only one who liked it.
The only one who liked it. It was that kind of Guardians of the Galaxy-esque.
Yeah.
It's fun and action-packed, and there's a modern-day song over the top. And there's dirt bikes. There was still a dirt bike in this one.
There was. Shorter, though.
This one was much more serious in tone.
Yeah.
With more of an impression of what was going on there.
Look, I'm not super concerned about this movie being bad. I think it'll be exactly what the other ones have been. For me, that trailer didn't work. This trailer, though, I thought was a lot better and gave you kind of a better idea of what direction the movie would go and the villains and things like that.
And spoiler alert, the Enterprise is destroyed.
Again. Though I don't think this new one hasn't been destroyed
yet,
has it?
No.
Yeah. As is tradition, every few movies you destroy an Enterprise, don't you?
That's right.
So looks like some kind of nanobot force.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on
what
there.
It could
even be like...
I think they're bigger than what they look.
Yeah, these
Because you see them go through
yeah.
and you see them up close and they're like car-sized.
I think they might be like individual
Are fighters.
Like fighter planes, okay, or something like that. Like suicide fighters or something, sure, like, yeah, that. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, this is... It's a very interesting villain, I guess.
Is it a new species of alien?
I've never seen it before, but I mean, who's to say?
You're not to say, that's for sure.
No, I'm many, many years behind on Star Trek. So.
Yeah, yeah. But speaking of, did you see there was also a teaser, a very short teaser for the CBS series, the new one?
No.
It's got a new cast, new crew. Mm-hmm. They haven't specified whether it's going to be set in the new continuity or the old one, or even what time period it's,
okay,
it's in.
What do the uniforms look like?
Nothing. It's just
oh,
like,
nothing.
It's
just, they're naked. Wow, that is the far future,
I think. That's right, yeah. They don't have Mack Weldon in the future, unfortunately.
Everybody's naturally antimicrobial in the future.
It's a spray, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but...
So you don't get any look at any...
No, it's just like a logo. It's the logo, okay, and you fly through a solar system or whatever. I don't want it to be in the past. I don't want another Enterprise. If any, I want to move forward.
Me too. Yeah. I'd like much further in the future.
I need to go back and watch every episode of the Jean-Luc Picard series. What's it called?
Next Generation. Yeah.
I was going to say Generations. That's the movie. Uh-huh. Yeah, because what I've seen of it, I've seen like bits and pieces.
That is a big
really
commitment.
There
are a lot of episodes.
But apparently it's, from what I've heard, it's a really, like, especially for the time, like the budget is incredible. The effects for the time. Because the 80s, 90s or whatever. But I've heard it's got some really interesting kind of philosophical stories and questions about what it means to be a person or an alien
or a robot.
Yeah.
What I'd probably recommend is, I'm sure there is, go online and search for like Star Trek Next Generation.
What are the good ones?
Exactly. There'll be one that'll be like, okay, here's the viewing order and here's all the important, you know, saga episodes and here's the important... here's the standout dramatic episodes or whatever, and here's the space battle episodes, and you can find it. Exactly. You don't have to watch them all.
You don't need to watch the second episode about Data learning about emotions.
Yeah, or learning to play the violin or whatever he did. Yeah.
That's right. Mm. Great stuff.
But I would like...
Go on.
I was going to say, because with every time I watch an old... Every time I watch like Enterprise or something like that, or, you know, the movie set in the old continuity or the movie set in the past.
Yeah.
I'm always like, if you waited a couple of years, you could have just done that with a transporter.
Right,
you
know what I mean? Absolutely. Mm. I think that was the problem with Enterprise as well, because they were like, warp drive doesn't work and nothing, you know, like, who cares? Mm. I don't care about any of that. Not that I even really saw that show. So, look, Enterprise does have its fans. Mm. I think it would be a mistake, though, not to somehow tie it to the movies and just have it as a crew that kind of runs parallel with the current crew.
Okay, sure.
Whether it be past or present or whatever, but I think you need to have it loosely connected, because I think the way to go would be to connect the entire universe over TV and movies.
Because if you go, okay, well, this is...
Like, from a marketing perspective, Mason, I'm talking purely financially.
Brand synergy. Who cares about the story? Just sell some toys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess if you set it after Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, people would go, okay, well, what continuity is this?
Yeah.
You need flash... I think maybe you could set it in the post those.
Yeah.
But you would need to have some flashbacks to the new movies.
And you need to make sure Worf turns up every fourth episode.
Worf has to be in every Star Trek. Also, that's the thing. Like, potentially there is no more future in the original timeline.
Well, I'm presuming that this second one's like an offshoot. It's a branching timeline. Mm. And that, because I think the idea was that original continuity still exists. It hasn't wiped out.
Exactly.
And that's how they kind of got around upsetting people. They still upset people.
Speaking about branching timelines and upsetting people, Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a new one out. Because again, the Star Trek reboot would have upset a lot of people.
Yeah.
But again, they very cannily went, okay, this is set in a separate universe. Mm. We've shown you the event that branches off.
Yeah.
But all the original stuff is technically still there. So we've invalidated none of it.
Yeah.
You can still have your favorite episodes and they still exist.
That's right.
Even though they're fictional and none of them really do exist.
Data can't play the
violin. Exactly. Sorry. Or the cats, whichever musical instrument he played in the future. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the Ghostbusters, do you want to talk about the Lethal Weapon and MacGyver trailers
quickly?
Briefly,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I just watched the MacGyver one.
Yeah, so these came out, I guess, both came out in the last couple of days.
Mm.
I really like the Lethal Weapon one and hate the MacGyver one. You were the opposite.
I don't like either of them, honest. Uh-huh. The MacGyver one I found particularly amusing when they're like, this guy can do anything. No, he says something like, my dad taught me that everything I need is all around me at all times. And the example they show of that is he pulls a garden hose and a bad guy like trips down some stairs.
Yeah, nice.
And at the end you see him like firing like a missile arrow. Like, you'd think you'd show that. after he says, you know, everything's right in front of you.
But you've got to save that till the end. Also, it's kind of weird, like, because MacGyver...
It's not a mullet?
MacGyver traditionally doesn't kill people. He doesn't use guns, like, that's one of his rules.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But also, again, it's this... If you shoot a exploding arrow in front of a truck and it flips and explodes, same thing. You might as well have had a gun. I find it odd, this particular setting, because it seems to be like... He's just this regular guy. It's the guy who plays Havoc in X-Men First Class.
In the X-Men's.
Yeah.
He's in the Apocalypse as well.
But so he seems to be working for this... The odd part is that they just seem to be putting him in situations. Surely...
Get into this hospital.
Because he's a guy... Even though he's a guy who can make weapons and equipment out of anything, give him some equipment. You know what I mean? Yeah,
absolutely.
He's just a guy...
Why is he rocking up in a flannel?
He's just a guy... Exactly. He's just a guy with a no haircut and in a flannel. And he's just wandering in and tripping people with garden hoses and building bombs or whatever. Give him some stuff.
Imagine how good he'd be if he had some stuff.
Yeah, right?
He'd be Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that never struck me with the originals, but this, it just seems to be like...
Especially at this age.
Yeah, right? It seems to be they've...
You don't want to give him like a keycard scanner or something?
Something, anything, right?
Or a gun?
Little iPhone that's got some stuff on it?
Yeah.
No, I don't like
Maybe it. Maybe he's like, I can't rely on tech, I only rely on myself and this garden hose I always carry with me.
Right.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
Lethal Weapon, though. It's pretty balls.
See,
I think it missed the point of the original Lethal Weapon.
Which was?
Racism. Like, subtle racism.
Oh, sure, yeah.
No, I don't know, like, who are these? Well, I mean, one's Wayne's brother.
Yep.
And the other one's doesn't have the charisma of Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
That Mel Gibson used to have.
Uh-huh.
And I love that bit at the table where he's like, oh, Riggs, I see you've got a wedding ring. Are you married?
Married, married, married. Married. Tell us about your wife, your wife, your wife.
I don't know.
Is she alive? 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 Oh, is she murdered? Murdered.
You've gone silent.
But see, that's the thing. You're right. But at the same time, how good did it look?
Not very good.
No, but in terms of like effects and like it looks...
Yeah, I guess.
He leaps from car to car.
This isn't going to do well.
He flips a thing. Who knows?
It won't. Do you know they made a Beverly Hills Cop pilot with Eddie Murphy as the chief?
No.
That they never released? Ooh. Yeah, so I think this is going to go... I think they're just going to go keep jumping show to show, like 80s property to 80s property.
Like from car to car.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Like Riggs.
Like Riggs. Mm. And then, I guess, you know what? They did kind of nail his kind of... He's the loosest unit. They kind of nailed that.
They did.
But I don't know. I don't care about any of these.
Look, I wasn't convinced by his facial hair. I wasn't convinced by anyone's facial hair in this.
Sure, in any of them.
But I have some faith. Look, you know what? I don't have any faith in it, but I'll watch the first one because to me it kind of looks fun.
Good for you.
Except for, again, the parts about... Your wife.
Do you need that heated up? Up.
Okay.
All right.
I'll put some Glad Wrap on it. You can take it home. Home.
To your wife? What?
Oh, no! Then the flashback. There's the flashback, yeah.
So Star Wars has a... There was some leaked Star Wars stuff this week. We've got a close look at Rogue One.
Yep.
Do you see any of that stuff?
No, but I did get that. Those photos of Daisy Ridley... Adam Driver and Mark Hamill arriving on set, London or something like that.
Sure.
And it's Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver with like the, you know, sunglasses on, and they've got the hoodies over their heads, and they're like, "No photos, please." And there's just photos of Mark Hamill like, "Hey," he's like finger gunning everybody, like, "I'm here, look at me. This is how you do it."
Good for him, man.
Yeah, it's
what a
good
champion. He's got another bloody shot, mate.
Yeah.
Not that he ever kind of, like, he was always doing stuff,
yeah.
but he's bloody back in a massive film. Good for him. So, yeah, the Rogue One stuff was just like, these are the characters and Darth Vader's kind of confirmed and whatever. Mm. But and there was also a scene supposedly leaked for Episode 8.
Yep.
Which I won't detail, but if it's true, which it may not be, it sounds pretty awesome. But the leaked title, which may or may not be the title, unconfirmed, is called Star Wars Fall of the Resistance.
Oh, pretty
good. So that's very Empire Strikes Back.
Very good.
Yeah.
And it's a lot better than your Attack of the Clones.
I loved that movie. No, that movie's not... That's not a good movie, is it?
You're thinking of literally anything else.
I'm thinking of other movies, aren't I?
You are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so you're okay with that, Fall of the Resistance?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Me too, I'm okay with it.
Bit of a tease.
Bit of a tease. Bit of a nibble.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know... The name of the movie doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, I mean, it does in terms of that's what it's called.
Sure,
but I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be a good or bad movie unless it's called Attack of the Clones.
We don't know how many clones are going to be attacking.
No, not yet.
Maybe tons, maybe none.
Yeah. Michael Keaton is reportedly back in talks to play the villain in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Huh, because he was in, then he was out.
And he was in, then he was
he
out.
He was in, everybody was like, is he going to be the Vulture? Because he looks real old, and he's like, how dare you,
who else
could
he play? Yeah, that's right. Is he going to be Aunt May?
Mm.
No, actually, he can't be. They already cast Aunt May, didn't they?
They did.
And she's not that old. But you want to see love interest, don't you? You want to see what they used to do with the 60s comics, where like Aunt May would accidentally date Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Peter, I've met this nice young man. Oh, we're going so well. And he's like, it's Dr. Octopus. You know.
So the director's kind of pretty much confirmed this because he put something on Twitter about Keaton. Maybe they're still kind of, you know, I was going to say chastising him. They're still
keeping him in a chastity belt.
That's right. Getting him, yeah.
He's a wild man. On him.
He is. But apparently with this new version of the Vulture, he's going to have tech that's built by the Tinkerer.
Okay. And oh, so it's definitely going to be the Vulture.
But yeah, well, this is all rumor. Okay, None of this is true. We have no insider information. You know that about the show.
Correct, yes.
And apparently that's going to all be from all like Chitauri tech.
That's an interesting kind of connection. Cool.
So that'd be pretty good.
How are they going to power that Chitauri tech? Because for the most part, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but some people can get it to work.
Some people get it to work.
The Tinkerer makes all sorts of toys and gadgets and little bits and bobs, doesn't he?
Correct, yes.
So I'm sure he could. He's probably got something for it.
Probably tinker with it a little bit.
I don't doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Happy with that, Keaton?
And then he'll turn to the camera and wink.
Yeah.
Just going to tinker with it. Twing.
That's right. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Anything else to say about that?
No.
Good.
Let me think. No.
Ghostbusters reboot.
Yep, another trailer.
It's called Ghostbusters Maybe Answer the Call now, because that's at the end of the trailer.
No,
I don't know whether
you reckon
that's just the tagline.
Yeah, no, I think that's just the tagline.
Do you think it's a mistake to just call it flat out Ghostbusters?
No.
I mean, a lot of this seems to upset a lot of people. I think there's been maybe a few mistakes along the way, it seems.
Sure, yeah.
In the eyes of a lot of people.
And I think that also, again, this is, I think, a movie we've seen too much of already.
Yeah.
Because now, like, and I think this last one is some sort of attempt at damage control. Like, you hate everything that has come out, you know, out so far.
We know that.
But if we throw in slime, you'll like it. Maybe if we show you the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you'll
right.
like it. But I think people are going to be like,
what?
Well, now you've just shown us. Like, I think if you tricked everybody into going in,
yeah.
and then they saw these things, they'd be like, oh, pleasant surprise. Hey, look how good Slimer looks. Look how, you know, whatever.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But I think the people who are already set to hate this movie are going to continue to hate it forever. Yeah.
Yeah. I made a video on it.
I'm so tired of.
I'm so indifferent and tired. I just wanted to come out.
And people
and then
stop
we can
talking
just
about it. Exactly.
Forget
yeah.
about it.
James Rolfe, the angry
yes.
video game nerd, he resolved to never see it.
Yeah.
Which
is fine. Whatever.
It's right. But at the same time, like, it is fine, but who cares? But I mean, just. Back in the day, you'd just not see a movie. You
sure.
didn't have to make a video about it.
The thing about James Rolfe is I genuinely like him.
Me too.
He does a lot of great work. I think a lot of the time, and if you look at a lot of his old videos, he hates continuity. Is that a delicious Coke you're drinking?
Yeah, it is.
We're not sponsored by them.
Sponsored
Pour it
by
out. Coke. Pour it out. Not into your mouth.
No, my mouth is naturally antimicrobial.
Oh, okay, so that's fine. But like, he's very particular about continuity, and like, he likes things to have labels on the outside. If they reboot something, don't call it the same name.
Right.
Like, he doesn't like how the new thing was called the thing. And I think that's also got a lot to do with this as well. Like he's very kind of particular in that way. I don't think he hates women or is
right,
anti-feminist.
Sure, yeah.
I don't. Yeah, but it's his call. If he doesn't want to see it, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Good for him, man. Are you going to see it, knowing that we will see it for this?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd see it anyway.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Again,
I just want to know.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be amazing. I don't even know if it's going to be good.
Yeah,
but
I have said in the past, if you can't get a 90-minute movie compacted down into 2 minutes and have a good trailer, it's probably not very good.
Yeah,
but I'm going to say as a corollary to that,
you
that
were
doesn't
wrong.
That doesn't seem to apply to Paul Feig movies.
Yeah, his trailers are generally not
terrible.
Great.
Bridesmaids was like, look, it's The Hangover, but it's with chicks, and it wasn't.
No.
And it's like, Spy looked terrible, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
The Heat looked terrible, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Says you, Mason.
Ooh.
You're bloody feminist.
I'm a feminist.
Get out of here.
In many ways.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
Look, again, we've got now two videos on this then, I guess.
Yes.
You've just done a new one. Then
yeah.
We talked about it last time.
Yeah.
It might be good, it might be terrible. I'm fully prepared to go to watch it and go, you know what?
Hate it.
It's good or bad or
yeah.
whatever.
Mm.
But until I see it, there's no way of knowing.
Well, you're wrong.
That's true, I am wrong. Yeah.
Shane Black came out this week because The Nice Guys is hitting cinemas.
That's right.
Really
yeah.
looking forward to seeing that. I haven't seen it yet.
Is it also set at Christmas?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen it. You don't listen, Mason.
No, no, no. That's you can problem. Definitively say a thing about a movie without having seen it.
I forgot that. Then yeah. yes, it's definitely set at Christmas. He says that he's speaking about Iron Man 3 and he's talked a little bit about the Mandarin and yeah. how like he said that, you know, he understands that like people were upset because they wanted the Mandarin to come in with like laser rings and whatever. And, and they didn't get that. But he also said that originally he wanted the Iron Man 3 villain to be female, but Ike Perlmutter vetoed it because he said it wouldn't sell toys. Because you know how all those Guy Pearce action figures
yes, they just flew off the shelves. Oh, my Ben Kingsley bobblehead.
Yeah.
Ooh, it says.
I think that would have been... Look, I don't like Iron Man 3 particularly. Mm-hmm. There's parts of it that I like, but I think it would have been maybe interesting if maybe Rebecca Hall's character turned out to
yeah.
be
uh-huh.
more villainous because she was just kind of just here around and then bit, she yeah. dies. Maybe yeah, I don't did, even
yeah.
remember.
Yeah,
but they probably sold about the same amount of action figures.
I think so.
I'd imagine, but yeah, I mean it's done. I don't think that would have saved that movie, but no. I think that's just an interesting mindset.
Yeah,
because I think Marvel are now kind of moving away from that because. They locked Ike Perlmutter in that box, is that right?
They sure did, yeah.
So that's really interesting.
They locked him in a box, they dropped it in the bottom of the ocean. I mean, he'll get out eventually.
Yeah.
Because he's very good at that sort of thing.
But hopefully they've got about three more movies under that.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of movies, that's this show.
Yeah, great.
And sometimes TV, isn't it?
Yeah, we do that.
Transformers 5.
Sometimes we talk about comic books.
Mm. Transformers 5 has a name and a teaser trailer to show that it's happening.
Yep.
It's called The Last Night, K with a K.
No, surely not.
Why would I make that up?
Oh, no, okay, that makes okay, fair enough.
And so you're not happy with it?
Is Optimus Prime The Last Night?
I think he was.
Because he's always everything, right?
He's always everything. He's the one and he's not.
He's the, he's the dark of the moon.
He's the dark spark or the all spark.
He's the
Matrix.
Yeah, he's the fallen, Matrix. Yeah. yeah.
He's the last prime. He's Mr. the first prime.
He's surprise jetpack, man.
That's right. He's got
Stanley
many...
Tucci's mate.
Yeah, he's like the Jesus of the franchise because yeah. he comes back.
No, but sometimes Shia LaBeouf is also the Jesus.
That's true, but he's gone. So this is Optimus
you
Prime
need a new
is now
Jesus.
Definitively Jesus.
Well, maybe then Shia LaBeouf was the John the Baptist
okay,
of the franchise
sure.
and Optimus
okay.
Prime is the Jesus.
So he had some skills, but he was no Jesus.
Not all the skills,
or
yeah.
Optimus Prime in
correct,
this case.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this one has the Quintus songs, is that what they're called?
Yeah, okay.
Mm.
Who, in depending on which continuity of the Transformers you like,
none
they create. Well, then it doesn't matter. But in the cartoon version, the Quintessons who appear in Transformers the movie,
they got the spinny heads.
They got the spinny heads.
Faces
yes,
or whatever?
Yes, they
yeah.
do. Yeah,
I remember that.
They created the Transformers.
Excellent. Why?
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
I'm sure they'll explain it.
Yeah,
in great detail.
That'll be amazing.
Do you care about this movie at all?
Look, we'll see it eventually, won't we?
Yeah, yeah.
4 was marginally better than 2 and 3.
Maybe.
So maybe this is the Fast and Furious. Maybe this is the number 5 once again.
But Michael Bay's doing
the
it.
This system we established, which has never been proven right, is the 5th movie is the return to form of the franchise.
When it gets good
which
again,
which has worked literally once, which is Fast and Furious.
That's right. It's got to happen again at some point, though.
You'd
right?
hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. So $80 million has been put towards a joint effort of Chinese and US production companies that will bring a Tetris film to the big screen described as an epic sci-fi
waste of
thriller.
Money.
Thriller. Sorry.
It's an epic waste of money. Epic sci-fi thriller.
Yeah.
What are they thinking?
They have to build a wall around the city and then a monster runs into it, but they got to build it quickly. And maybe they don't have the long bit until the end.
Yeah, the long bit never arrives when you want it to arrive, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
What almost do you, like it knows.
That's right. What do you do with this? Actually, you know what? Don't tell me because we shouldn't give them any ideas.
No ideas
they
for them.
Dug
yeah.
their own grave.
That's what they're doing. They're just listening to podcasts. They're watching videos, watching the YouTube, trying to find out an idea for this. Give them nothing, people. Give them nothing. You're absolutely right. Dug their own grave.
This is... I mean, people laughed at Battleship, but this is like...
Pixels? After Pixels.
I think Pixels did Tetris, didn't they? Well, oh, maybe they did Space... I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they
maybe
did
Space
Invaders.
Invaders
yeah.
or the Millipede one? What's it called?
Centipede?
Yeah, no, Millipede.
I think there was a Millipede.
I'm sure there was, yeah. Do you know there was a Mrs. Pac-Man?
Was it Ms. Pac-Man? It was Ms. Pac-Man.
They're not married? Living in sin.
Oh,
don't approve.
Wow. Maybe that's the plot.
Maybe it is. So look,
I think Ms. Pac-Man was just like, okay, we need a sequel to Pac-Man. Like, legitimately, they're like,
yeah,
should we make more maps or whatever? And then like, nah, just put a bow on it. Make it Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah. And then we can just put the bow down underneath and
Pac-Lady? No, Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man. Yeah, you can make that a bow tie as well and call it like, I don't know,
Fancy Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Yeah. All right, good stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Oh, yeah, actually, there's one more bit of news before we got two sponsors for this week, which means we're very fortunate, Mason.
I think so, yeah.
In terms of
Oh, here's a little
money.
Bit of news.
Okay, go on.
No, it's not real news. New DC logo.
Oh, what do you think?
It's part of their...
You hate the old one,
don't
you?
Part of their constant restructuring and damage control. As part of their controlled tailspin to death, they've decided to bring out a new logo. It looks a lot better.
Let's talk DC movies. I want to talk comics, which we will, because there's been some stuff happening with the DC rebirth.
Yeah.
But there has been a shakeup at Warner Brothers where there's been a whole lot of restructuring where people who already had the titles they had still have them, but maybe Geoff Johns has more control now over the DC
universe.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, he's getting some film control now.
Yeah,
or something
which
like
he
that.
Kind of had, but I think now they went, maybe we should listen to the guy who probably knows something about this universe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I don't hate that at all.
Neither do I.
Just a bit of direction wouldn't hurt at all.
It's
good to have like individual, like unique perspectives on each film, but it's good to have, you know, it's the Kevin Feige kind of thing where you need that person.
You need one guy who's passionate about it.
But also understands it.
Mm.
Yeah. Not some bloody bean counter, Mason.
Exactly.
Get at the bottom of the ocean. Get in the pearl mutter box.
Get in the Pearl Mutter Trench. That's what we're calling it.
So that's exciting, but also, or it's, you know.
Yeah, and again, like I've criticized Geoff Johns in the past.
Yeah, because of the way he looks.
Yeah. And some would say that's not his fault, but I say no. No, but you
he's actually a very handsome man.
But I guess
he looks after himself.
I bet he can do
30 push-ups.
I bet he could. But I could do 30 push-ups right now.
You don't have to. You had a lot of coke. You probably vomited on my carpet.
Yeah. Your bearskin rug. That's what you have in here. My problem, he's a great writer, but I've had a minor issue with his writing in the past insofar as because he grew up with a certain era of superheroes, as soon as he got the opportunity to write those superheroes, he sort of brought them all back to the status quo kind of thing. Like there was like when he started writing on Justice Society, there were certain characters that had kind of moved on.
Yeah.
But since he wanted to sort of play with the toys as he's originally remembered them, he sort of reverted a lot of characters back to their original, and that kind of annoyed me.
Right, right.
Like, and I feel that is kind of DC's failing, is they keep wanting, they don't let the characters evolve, they just have to keep them in this as this status quo. But I guess if you're doing movies,
yeah,
if you want to establish a universe, You want status quo. Here's my ideas, and we're not going to deviate from these.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Good. Well, I'm glad you agree.
Yes, that's what you were saying. I agree with that.
Okay, good. Margot Robbie is apparently, this is a rumor, is to produce and star in a Harley Quinn movie. That was probably part of her deal initially, I'd imagine. There was also been rumors of like a Birds of Prey movie as well, which would be probably better than that show, which was the worst
definitely,
show.
Definitely, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, so that's pretty cool. I'm okay with all of that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Would you have like where would the Birds of Prey movie be set? Like, would it be
France?
Oh, I meant more when. Like, would you want Batgirl in the Birds of Prey?
I think you'd have to go that. I think you'd do it that way.
Or would you want Oracle?
Oh yeah, good question.
Do we have an Oracle in this universe? We don't know.
I think we probably. Oh, actually, we don't know. Mm. Well, what's her name? She's in bloody Hunger Games. She's got red hair. Jenna Malone was rumored to play Barbara Gordon.
Okay.
But we don't know whether she's Oracle or Batgirl or whatever. Mm. I'd say Sings as Batman's been doing this for 20 years.
She's Oracle now.
And yeah, I would say the Killing Joke already happened.
That's true, but also we have Batgirl back in the DC universe. But what also, if they change also DC Rebirth? So that's maybe, right. We don't know.
We don't know where everything's at. So also just quickly, this is just a rumor as well. Suicide Squad apparently has done some test screenings and it's been really well received.
Okay.
Which may or may not be true. Who knows? But that's
certain other properties were also very well, well received in previews and were not so well received.
But also other properties were well received in previews and were also well received critically and well received. So look,
microbial.
I just think, well, the point is it's not really news, but it's not bad news.
That's true, yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Mason, we've got a topic for this week.
Oh, very good.
We're gonna talk about cancelled comic book universes again. Aren't we? Because we didn't get through all of them last time.
You bloody
banged on too much and we had to cut it short. I didn't like it, quite frankly.
Wow, sorry.
But I'm glad we're back. But leading into that, what a good way to lead into it. Oh, by the way, we're doing X-Men next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are, Apocalypse. Yeah.
Which in a way is a cancelled comic book universe,
I thought would be a fun way to shoehorn this topic in.
Correct.
Is because it's a universe. Well, comic book universe.
Well, I have an even funner way, Mason.
Great, let's do it.
DC Rebirth. Spoilers.
Yes.
These are all out Wednesday. So if you don't want to know anything about the new DC Rebirth and how they're shaking up the universe, bugger off, mate.
Okay.
I'll put a time code in the bottom. You can come back then. Bloody skip ahead. So these are some of the things that are apparently come out of what's going to be in the new DC.
I cannot wait. Rebirth. Here we go.
Bearing in mind, these are like initial issues. I don't know necessarily whether these things are good or bad or how it's going to play out.
Uh-huh.
These are just some facts that I have that aren't connected to anything.
Can I make some guesses?
Absolutely.
Batman, about the same.
Yes.
They generally never change Batman.
Yeah, he's about the same.
Because he makes the most money.
Well, if you look at New 52 Batman, he's got all the history of previous Batman. They just like compacted the
They never changed Batman.
Yeah.
They
changed Superman a lot.
Yeah, okay, Superman.
I can tell you what happens to Superman.
Okay, right, let's
I think
it.
They kill New 52 Superman.
They kill him?
So they bring back an original classic recipe Superman.
Are they going to kill the new Superman, though?
Is he going to
Is he going to literally die? Or
I
are they
think
just going to brush him away?
I hope they kill him.
Okay, sure.
I like him.
He's been a bit arrogant.
Yeah.
Are there his underpants back on the outside? Are they back?
I couldn't tell you that, Mason. That's a very good
question. It's all waist-up photos.
It's all waist-up, yeah. I probably could go check. There's three Jokers. So there's original Joker, Killing Joke Joker, New 52 Joker. I'm not sure how that factors in. Do they work together?
Sounds overly complicated. Good work, DC. You've done it again.
Who sits in the front if they've got a car, if they're all in a car?
Not Killing Joke Joker, probably. He's in the back, I think.
Probably polishing a gun or something.
Probably, and he's all... Because he's all in the... He's probably in a Hawaiian shirt of some kind. He's just cruising along. He's taking it easy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know what, the original Joker's probably driving because he can probably drive stick because he's from like the 50s.
Exactly, yeah.
When you had to be able to drive
stick. Yeah, and New 52 Joker is navigating.
Yes.
Because he's got the
iPhone. He's got the iPhone. Brilliant, we did it.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman has a twin brother called Jason. Jason Woman.
Great.
And this is the bit that's blowing people's minds.
The three Jokers isn't blowing people's minds?
Mate.
That's overly complicated if you ask me. No one did, but I'm saying weird. Don't like it.
Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen is responsible for the rebirth, which also makes The Watchmen now canon in the new DC universe.
Ooh.
They exist.
Ooh.
So, which means that I guess they'll be ongoing characters to some extent, or they'll kill them off immediately.
Oh boy.
That's some dangerous ground there. They've already done before Watchmen, so they kind of... I don't think people... If we hadn't seen before Watchmen and then this happened, I think this would have been like people would have flipped out more. But because they already kind of not ruined.
So are the Watchmen characters going to be in this universe though?
I believe
so. Or is it going to be a parallel universe?
Well, that's a good question.
How many universes are there now?
Oh, I hope there's only
one. Because we've gone from one originally to two to three to an infinite number.
Yeah.
To one to Hypertime to 52. Now where are we?
I don't know. Mm. I think they'll probably just have regular Earth and like the one where there's like the bad Justice League.
Sure, yeah, okay.
I couldn't tell you. Mm. I dropped off most of the new DC, the new 52 stuff. Like I kept up with Batman and a few bits and pieces, but I don't care about the continuity. I just want to read good stories.
Same.
And I don't want to read stories where I have to read other stories to understand the stories. That's what I think.
Mm.
What do you think?
I agree with everything you've ever said.
Thank you. Mm. Jerk.
Oh, trapped in a web of logic. Boom.
But look, we'll see how that plays out this Wednesday, won't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you've got some bloody cancelled comic book movies to
Let's talk about. So,
not movies, universes.
Universes, yeah. We talked about this in episode... you know what? I figured it out. It's episode 101. Well, I didn't figure it out. I went back and I had a look.
Figured it out.
It's episode 101.
Got his abacus.
Because I'm like, what if I just talk about all the stuff that I talked about in the previous episode?
Which we are prone to do.
Yeah, we are prone to do. So I went back and I re-listened to it. And I came up with some other ones that we haven't been talking about.
I'm very excited for this. I always learn something.
Yeah. So last time, for those who are keep catching up, last time we talked about... we talked about the Ultimate Universe, Marvel's Ultimate Universe.
Good stuff.
We talked about the Valiant Universe and later the Acclaim Universe. We talked about Supreme Power.
Good stuff.
We talked about Techno Comics,
oh, yes.
Which of course featured a series of half-baked ideas that famous creators came up with, I guess, over the phone or
wasn't
by
it,
smoke
signals. Wasn't it just like, it's Merlin, but it's the future?
Yeah, it was like, look, it's Leonard Nimoy came up with dinosaurs, but they're from space and they wear suits of armor. And Mickey Spillane came up with his character Mike Hammer, except it was in the future and he was called Mike Danger and he had a bloody ray gun or whatever. Of course, the Malibu universe, the Malibu Ultraverse.
Yes.
Which was a pretty great one.
Which spawned the Malibu Barbie.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with some other stuff. So,
how many we got?
You know what? I've got 5 written down here. So we'll see if I can think of enough things to say about them and then we'll see how we go.
I love it.
So I think last time we talked about them, we talked about... like some high and low points about each of them and then like whether or not I'd like to see them come back. Maybe if you want to go back and check some of them out.
Yeah.
What individual issues you'd like to go for.
Yeah, sure.
So the first one I probably want to talk, because last time we talked about a Marvel spin-off, the Ultimate Universe, I thought maybe this time we could talk about the New Universe.
Okay.
Which was 1986's... in 1986, Marvel had an editor-in-chief called Jim Shooter,
mm-hmm.
who was kind of a megalomaniac. Nobody liked him.
Sounds great.
Yeah, he sounds great, right? but he had this idea in 1986 for this new universe, which he called the World Outside. Look, in public, it was called the World Outside Your Door because it was meant to be like, okay, in the Marvel Universe, there's hundreds of superheroes and hundreds of supervillains and... Right. They're just flying about in New York City and blowing stuff up and people are kind of like, hey, Spider-Man, whatever. Like nobody... Like, it's just day-to-day activity.
Yes.
And the idea behind this was, wouldn't it be amazing if... Like, how would the world react if superheroes arrived in the real world?
Right, right.
It was like, okay, this is going to be the real world.
That's never been done before.
Well, see, that's the thing. It kind of...
Hadn't at that time?
Kind of had a bit. Yeah. Like, this was kind of new territory.
Sure.
So he was like, okay, this is the real world. So every month that passes in the comic books, a month is going to pass in the real world. And,
right.
And there's going to be no... They set a whole bunch of rules and then set apart dismantling them almost immediately.
Love
so
it.
They were like, there's not going to be any aliens. There was aliens.
How
there's
quickly.
Not going to be any magic. There was magic. You know.
So what kind of superheroes and supervillains are we talking?
Okay, so we had...
This isn't just like Spider-Man's in the regular world. Is it new characters?
Yeah, well, it was new characters, but they're very much like...
They're archetypes.
There's some classic archetypes. So we had... okay, so we had a guy called Starbrand, who was this, like, a regular guy who had, like...
It's like a type of bread. Starbrand bread.
Yeah, the freshest. Get it at a service station.
If you want.
It's very unpleasant. Get it at the Star Petrol station. But he was, like, a regular guy, and, like, an alien came down and gave him, like, Star Brand.
So when they said no aliens, what issue was he in?
One. Star Brand issue one.
When he got the powers.
Yeah, straight away. and he got like, you know, your standard flying and energy beams and whatever.
Sure.
DP7, which was like Displaced Paranormal 7. So they were like...
Like a squad?
Yeah, like a squad. Yes. And we also got Psyforce, which were also basically mutants.
Two groups of mutants.
But they could Psyforce were these people, they all had individual sort of mental powers, and then they could combine into this thing called the Psyhawk, which was essentially a large flaming phoenix kind of being, right? You see where I'm going with this?
I know.
There was also Spitfire and the Troubleshooter. So Spitfire was like a red armored suit. Mm-hmm. Which could fly and was very strong and had weapons built in. Okay. And the troubleshooters were like a team of mercenaries, and they had each had like a high tech weapon. Like one of them had like a gauntlet that could fire laser beams, and one had like metal legs so they could run real fast and all that sort of stuff.
Pretty good.
And I remember even the time as a kid, I'm like, why don't they just give them all the one guy and he could be the best?
Yeah, that's a great.
I never did. There was a guy called Nightmask who was a man who would fall in and out of coma, and he could go through people's dreams.
Right.
Created by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, really?
Who several years later went on to some Sandman, success with The Sandman.
Right. So it's kind of a proto-Sandman. Yeah. That's interesting.
There was Mark Hazard Merc, which was basically the Punisher.
Right.
Except he would go around the world shooting brown people. That was...
Why brown people?
Because they were, you know, the enemy in the 80s.
I guess so.
Kickers Incorporated, which was basically an ex-football team who are superheroes now.
I bet they're jerks.
It's pretty great. So it was like...
Can you think of anything worse than taking a really popular sporting team and giving them superpowers?
Right.
Like, that is the worst. They're already horrible.
They're bad people, yeah. So the impetus for the new universe, like, in the story, was that there was this thing called the White Event. There was this...
Is this their Terrigen Mist kind of thing?
Yeah, sort of thing. There was this flash of white light in the sky and some seconds of time just go missing and nobody knows what happens.
Mm.
And then it turns out some people have started having superpowers and stuff like that. But I mean,
Was it random? Because say the guy who got the Star Brand, was that related?
Yeah, that was unrelated.
Well, that's...
Although it was, in a way, it was related. If I can go all the way to the end, so...
Please. Let's skip ahead.
Yeah, so if we skip to the end, basically the reason the White Event happened is because the guy, Starbrand, realizes that he doesn't want to be Starbrand anymore. It's causing too much death and destruction.
Right.
So he goes into space and he attempts to... Because he can sort of get the Starbrand and he can give it to somebody else.
Okay.
So he decides he's going to put it on like an asteroid
to
kind of get rid of it. And then it exploded through time. And that created the White Event.
What an idiot.
So in a way, he created it all in the first place. But how did he get the Star Brand in the
first place? That's a really good question.
Who bloody knows?
They probably answered that.
It was an alien, though. it was kind of... Yeah, it was...
Some of that sounds okay.
Some of it does sound okay.
How long did this run for?
This ran for 3 years. I think it ran till 1989.
Okay. And you got full credit as well for making a new thing. Kicking off a new universe,
I think part of the reason was this was, again, Jim Shooter's, the editor-in-chief at the time, in public it was called The World Outside Your Door. He called it the Shooterverse because he was like, this is my legacy, this is going to be the new Spider-Man, this is going to be the new Iron Man, this is going to be the new X-Men.
I don't think you can start any project with that in mind,
because
you can't just be like, I'm going to create iconic characters. That's
not how
iconic characters are made.
It's
almost like an accident, and then it's up to the public to accept them or reject them.
Right, exactly.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, they were just... Yeah, elements of it were pretty good.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
You said Neil Gaiman. It sounds like there was some talent.
There was a little bit of talent. Yeah. Yes. Hang on. I've lost my train of thought.
That's not good enough.
Not good enough, exactly. But I mean, it was just... Yeah, it was like, this is going to... Oh, one of the things I think that I remember at the time, they were like, okay, this is going to be realist. This is going to be a realistic universe.
Yeah.
How are we going to make it more realistic? And people are like, oh, you're going to make more, you know, more accurate character, you know, more true to life characters kind of thing. They're like, no, we're going to eliminate speed lines. So, you know, when somebody's running and see the lines behind them.
So you don't know, there's no sense of movement?
Well, here's the thing, though. There were speed lines. or in, like almost straight away. It's just, anyway, it's a pretty great universe.
Wouldn't you just say, look, we're building a new universe and these are things we're hoping to do, but we'll just see how it evolves over time, as opposed to being like, we definitively won't do this ever.
Right.
And then having to go back on it straight away.
Mm.
I don't know. Look, I've never created a comic universe.
Yeah. But yeah, and they were like, look, you know, new universe, no cliches, whatever. But again, it did kind of...
You can't help, though... There are certain tropes and things that kind of, if you're building a superhero universe, you're going to end up touching on some things that have kind of already been done.
That's true, yeah.
You're going to end up making Iron Man eventually, aren't
you? Yeah. But also, and I think maybe one of the things that killed it was also that they were like, they released, it started out with 8 series and they released them all at the same time. So it wasn't a case of like, okay, we'll see how this one goes. We'll build its continuity a little bit. It was like, smash, here's the universe.
Yeah.
Everything has to adhere to this particular...
Yeah.
Universe, whatever. And, you know, can't, and you can't, again, it was this kind of authoritarian, and I think he was like, okay, these are the rules, you can't.
What is he, is he a writer? Is he a creative person? What was his deal?
You know, I don't know. Give me a second, I'll look him up. But I mean, I had always recalled him as just kind of a
pencil pusher.
Yeah, exactly. I bet now that I think about it, he created something amazing. Let's check it out.
Wow, he looks like a villain. He looks like an right? evil, he looks like an evil version of Christopher Reeve.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he did some stuff on Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, he's only 64.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he was a good manager, but he was not necessarily well loved.
Sure.
So and
sometimes you have to though.
Yeah, and so he after this he left Marvel in like 1987, so a year later.
All right.
And actually, what happened? As he left, so John Byrne, who had done Man of Steel and he'd done some other stuff, he did some writing on New Universe as well.
Mm.
And when Jim Shooter left Marvel, everybody went over to John Byrne's house and they built an effigy of Jim Shooter and they stuffed it. So the story goes, they stuffed it with unsold copies of Star Brand and they set it on fire.
That's amazing.
Pretty good, right?
So was this under the Marvel brand?
No, it was just called New Universe.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Don't you think it would have done better if they just put Marvel like in the corner of the?
Let me just check comic. A cover. Let me just check. Hang on. Oh no, it's got Marvel in the cover.
There you go. Yeah. So it still didn't do well. Yeah. So it must have done okay to run for 3 years.
I guess so. Yeah. And they I don't know. But at the same time, I guess if you've got the success of Marvel behind you, you can sort of trial something out.
That's true. Yeah.
They also did some stuff like there was a couple of years after that, after the white event, they had the black event where in the series, in the universe, Pittsburgh was destroyed.
Right.
And that coincidentally is Jim Shooter's hometown. That's, I don't know if that was related at all.
It sounds related.
Yeah, it sounds related, right. And then there was a massive war, kind of, it was all, and then it sort of just ran out of steam.
If you had to recommend any or none of this, what would you recommend?
I would recommend none of it, but... a few years ago, Warren Ellis is one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
He started a series called New Universal, all one word.
Right.
And it took a lot of those concepts, but instead of making it 8 different comic books that you all had to collect, it was just the one. And again, it was never finished, I think. I think Ellis lost a whole bunch of stuff in a hard drive crash, like a lot of scripts and things like that. Yeah. And so the story sort of ended. But it was called New Universal, and there was a spin-off called New Universal Shock Front that was also very good.
Right, okay.
They also, I think the best ending for the New Universe was that, again, it was supposed to be set entirely in its own universe, but it did exist in the Marvel multiverse.
Right.
And so at one point, Quasar... Remember Quasar?
No.
He had quantum bands. He was like a Green Lantern, except there's only one of him.
Okay.
Anyway, he traveled to the new universe and kind of got stuck in it, and then he eventually escaped the new universe, and then it was brought to the attention of this cosmic being in the Marvel universe called the Stranger, who is kind of like, he's like the Watcher, but he sort of tinkers with the universe.
Okay.
And experiments with people and stuff like that, and he actually basically. He captured the entire Earth from the new universe and sort of trapped it in a pocket dimension near his laboratory, like his, and basically, so the Living Tribunal, who's like a god in the Marvel universe, was like, "What have you done? I'm declaring this off limits to everybody." So, like, it's now trapped in the Marvel Universe.
And it's still in there.
So, the new universe still exists off on its own, but the Earth containing all the characters is off limits to everybody in the entire multiverse. Like, you cannot access it anymore.
Like, I was just looking. It seems like they've done some stuff with Starbrand and that, though. Like,
made an appearance back in The Exiles. I don't know if you remember.
No.
The Exiles was like this. It was like Sliders, but for Marvel.
Oh,
it was a team of an ever changing roster of superheroes.
Yeah.
who were going through various parallel universes to sort of right various wrongs in the in the universe. And at one point, they do go to not the original new universe, but a variant of the new universe.
Right.
An alternate version of that.
Oh, so it's not the original.
No, but it was also seemingly a world that was set in stuck in the '80s.
Yes.
Pretty good, right?
So much new Coke.
Yeah. Loved it.
Cool. Well, that sounds interesting in terms of how it played out.
Yeah.
But also uninteresting story-wise.
I mean, it's just kind of generic. Like, it was, don't go back.
Don't go back.
Go to New Universal. In Warren Ellis's version, it's basically the white event was this sort of, the premise is that there's this sort of gigantic structure, like this interdimensional structure in the universe built by some sort of forces unknown,
right?
Like millions of years ago. It's like this million light year across kind of web of, like, you know, in hyperspace. Mm. And when an element of it crosses over into a, you know, through a planet or through a dimension, that means that dimension is sort of going to be elevated into, like, a, you know, more like a metaphysical kind of like an elevated plane, like an evolved plane kind of thing.
Right.
But in order to adapt humanity to this, you know, this evolved universe, it has to send kind of like, it has to sort of empower some individuals across the world with superpowers so they can help humanity adjust. And so one's a Starbrand and one's a Night Mask and one's et cetera, et cetera. And it played out a lot better. It made a lot more sense
than what you just explained to them.
Correct. Yeah.
Sounds okay.
Pretty good, right?
Pretty okay.
Pretty great, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty okay.
Yeah.
What's the next?
What do you want to talk about next?
What do you got?
I got some options. Okay. I'm going to give you the Impact Universe.
What else?
Comics Greatest options. World.
Hmm.
Continuity Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Milestone Comics.
It sounds like you want to talk about Milestone Comics. But what do you want to talk about?
Let's go in order. Let's talk about Impact Comics.
Okay.
So there used to be a comic. The Impact comic characters are comic characters that they're like Valiant. They're like a universe that won't die. Like, it's a bunch of characters. It's a bunch of intellectual property that has sort of gone back and forth through various companies over the years, and they're to varying degrees of success.
Right.
They used to be owned by a company called MLJ Comics.
Mm.
Who later became Archie Comics, and so they were the Archie Comics superheroes for a while. And they would occasionally make appearances in Archie Comics.
Right.
But they would also, they had their own separate universes. And then in the 90s, DC wanted to make like a more all-ages kind of comic universe because their comics were getting kind of dark and gritty at the time. So let's make one for kids.
Mm.
And so they contacted Archie and they licensed out all the Archie comic superheroes.
Was this a temporary thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I say that not knowing if it was. No, I think it was.
Sure.
But
it was a lending as opposed to a buying.
Not a buying. Yeah, exactly. And so became the Impact Universe, which had, it was basically they took all the names and they gave them new looks and new origins and a new continuity, basically.
Okay, sure.
And it was this one for kids. And it was, I was like a teen or a tween at the time.
Yeah.
And it was a real good universe. So we
early
had like
90s, you wouldn't have been a teen.
In the 90s.
In the early 90s.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
So, yeah. But what it was good about this universe, I think, is that it sort of, all the characters were new.
Yeah.
And the universe was new, but they acted like it wasn't new, like it had been a universe that had existed for a while.
Right.
So
we had
this modern day universe where all these superheroes started appearing, but it wasn't the first appearance of the superheroes. Like in the 50s, there was a team called the American Crusaders, who had already existed, and they had all, you know, sort of mysteriously disappeared.
Right.
And then, you know, decades had passed, and there was this new, you know, breed of superheroes.
They weren't the same.
They weren't the same. There were some shared elements.
Sure.
So the character, the Shield.
Oh, yeah, I know the Shield.
Well, the Shield predates Captain America.
Really?
By like a year, I think.
Isn't that, you'd mentioned that's why they changed the shape of his
Captain America's first, in Captain America's first appearance, his shield is like a medieval style shield.
Yeah, like a crest.
Right, it's like a crest kind of shield. Mm. And the creators of the shield, whose kind of chest emblem is that sort of crest shield, they were like, you have to change it. And so he got the circular shield.
Yeah.
But the shield sort of was the original star-spangled American kind of superhero.
Yeah.
And so he was in the part of this original team of American crusaders.
Yeah.
That they, you know, some of these characters already existed. Some were new that they'd said, okay, these characters existed in the 50s kind of thing.
Mm.
And then they were like, okay, well, that happened in the past, but now there's a new shield. Like, the American government have decided they're going to build a new shield, so they built a new a shield suit, and they're like, now get out and do some superhero.
So this is more tech and...
It's more... This one is very much...
He's not a super soldier, basically.
No, he's just a man. He's a man in a sort of indestructible suit with, like, a force field generator.
Cool.
Yeah. And there was... Yeah, and there was, like... There was a lot of sci-fi elements. There was a little bit of mysterious magic. Mm. But, yeah, it was a lot of high-tech stuff. So one of the good elements, again, about this universe that had, you know, was already set in...
Yeah.
One of the characters that I really enjoyed, it was a character called The Web.
Mm.
And he was not one man, but he was an organization. So
right.
in the 50s, they had the American Crusaders, and the government's like, well, we need somebody to keep tabs on this super team. So they created an identity called the Shield, which was a guy in like this golden suit of armor, but it was actually a whole bunch of different people.
And a different person would wear it
every time, yeah. Ah. And so they would put him in the suit and they would go off and be like, hey, I'm the Web, why don't I join your superhero team? And it was kind of like spying on the commies kind of situation.
Right, right, right.
But what happened is when we sort of catch up to this universe, in the 90s, when we catch up to this universe, the Web, like, their budget's been cut because there's been no superheroes in decades. And so it's just like, they're just like doing surveillance on biker gangs and like,
You
know, just like doing the occasional drug bust. And like their budget is such that they can only activate their superpowers for like 15 minutes at a time kind of
That's
thing.
That's really interesting.
That was kind of interesting. Like that, then all of a sudden more superheroes arrive and they're like, okay, we're going to kind of, you know, we're going to bring the budget back. We're going to introduce new recruits. So it was kind of like, there's this old guard, and one's gone too deep into like this undercover operation. He's like an old bikey kind of guy.
Yeah.
And one's like a hippie.
Yeah.
He's gone back on, like, he's a pacifist now, whatever.
Sure.
And they have to team up with these new recruits who don't care for him and think they're old fashioned. And
these aren't like clones of the same guy. They're actually different.
Yeah. It's all different people. It's like recruits. They're like, you know, ex-army recruits.
Sure.
And stuff like
gotcha.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had like the Comet who was in like an accident in the North Pole, and he gained sort of, you know, flight and energy beam powers and stuff like that. We had the Jaguar who had magic powers. We had the Fly who could turn into a sort of a armored fly man because of a magic amulet. It was pretty, right? It was a bit silly, yeah.
It doesn't sound like exclusively aimed at kids, though.
No. I mean, it was quite lighthearted.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was probably the key there.
But was the way it was written, was it kind of like, this is too simple for adults? Was it that kind of...
Look, I'd have to go back and reread it to tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, it's one of those things where your brain fills in the blanks.
Right.
And I'm sure I thought it was amazing writing at the time, but I bet. Although there were some interesting twists. I don't know if it was a deliberate kind of playing with the former, they just felt like it at the time. What they did is they introduced the first raft of superheroes.
Yeah.
And then, like, we're going to introduce some more, you know, a few months down the track. And one of the characters was a character called the Black Hood, and he was like a Punisher kind of character.
Mm.
And he wore, like, a red armored suit, and he had this black hood with red eyes, and he carried a whole bunch of guns.
Sure.
And he would make a guest appearance. He would appear in the Comet, and he would, like, you know, have a shootout with the Comet or whatever, and then they'd come to an uneasy alliance kind of thing or whatever.
Sure.
And he's like, I'm going to make a team. I'm going to go all these superheroes together. We're going to make a team like the Crusaders back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, coming in 3 months, Black Hood number one, right? And then he would make an appearance somewhere else, and he would fight the, you know, the other superhero, and he'd say, I'm going to form up a team, and it'd be like, coming in 2 months, Black Hood number one or whatever. And it would keep going. And then in Black Hood number one, he's shot in the head and he's killed, like in the first issue. And then the hood is passed along to somebody else.
Right.
And it turns out that the power was, like, it was never in him in the first place. He was just sort of a pawn of this magical hood.
Ah.
You put it on and it contains the skill set and the spirits of all the men who wore it beforehand.
Right, right.
But then the actual Black Hood series was just people getting the hood, dying. Wearing it for a while, either being terrified of what it turned them into and giving it away, or being riddled with bullets and replaced.
Would you see them riddled with bullets? Was it that kind of universe?
Well, so the first character was a guy called Walt Sidmundson. He was the first one we see, the one who's like, I'm gonna get this team together kind of thing. And he is shot in the head, and so from that point forward, one of the Black Hood's eyes is like
bigger,
like really big, because that's where he's shot. So he's got a massive blood stain in his head. It wasn't super bloody.
Yeah,
it was, you know, the kind of kid.
That
kind of
sounds cool.
It was kind of a fun universe.
How long did it last?
A couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah. And poor sales is what killed it.
I was going to say,
is generally what the case is.
I mean, that's what it normally is, isn't it?
Generally boils down to, they were going to reboot it in this storyline called The Crucible.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like, okay, this is going to be Impact Comics 2.0. We're going to start it again. But in the end, they were like, nah, let's just can it. It's pretty,
fuck
pretty
it.
Good. Yeah. But again, if you are going to read any of that, I'd probably say The Comet was my favorite.
Okay.
The Web, again, because it's got the fun little twist there.
Little twist, mate.
Little twist. Yeah. Yeah, it's all pretty good.
I bet they're probably not on Comixology, I'd imagine.
I'm going to check right now.
All right, then.
Yeah, that's right. How do you like that?
I'm okay with it.
Okay, good.
I'll also check.
Yeah. Although now they are back because, again, this is the universe that can't die.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, a few years ago, those characters were reintegrated in the DC universe as proper. So the Web, but again, they kept the names. They changed all the look and the properties and whatever. And so the Web, taking sort of cues from the previous version, he was a billionaire style, you know, Bruce Wayne style guy who people would send requests for help via the Web,
as you might
imagine. And then he would either go at him himself, or he would issue somebody like a suit of Web armor and like with like a technical manual and like technical support, and they could go and fight the crimes themselves.
Okay.
It was interesting.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
I know, right?
Oh, there's Black Hood. Yeah, Black Hood's on here.
Cool.
The Shield, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that went up and down kind of thing. And now there is another imprint. It's called Dark Circle Comics.
Right.
Which is, from what I've seen, very good.
Okay.
There was one of the Archie Comics characters called the Fox, came back a few years ago in a series called Fox Freak Magnet, which is basically about him. He makes this realization that he was just this mild-mannered guy, and as soon as he became a superhero, all these lunatics just sort of coming out of the woodwork and attacking him, and now he can't have a normal life because people are just constantly on him. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that.
Real good, man.
I'm seeing it with the Black Hood, like the second issue. The first issue, he's got two regular-sized red eyes, and the second issue, he's got one
bigger way of a
shot. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. He's very kind of Spawn-esque.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, and this is before Spawn, I presume. Or maybe not. I don't know.
No way of knowing.
No, there isn't. That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah, right. How about...
You said in order.
Okay, we'll do it in order. Okay, how about comic? We'll talk about Comics Greatest World, which was Dark Horse's superhero imprint.
Right.
Which, this came out right at the height of the comic book speculator craze.
Yes.
And a lot of people were like, again... A lot of people were like, well, they're just cashing in.
Right.
I think it took them several years. They came up with the idea for Comics Greatest World several years before this speculator craze hit.
Yeah.
But I think it took them so long to put everything together that people were like, you're just cashing in. But I think it was a coincidence.
Oh, they were already kind of doing it.
But basically, Comics Greatest World was... It was set in America, but in this weird America where there was like... Four like very strange kind of cities, like the cities had their own personality.
What do you mean, like the same way that Gotham Metropolis?
Yeah, like that kind of thing. I think they were kind of built around, okay, we need a new Gotham, we need a new Metropolis, right. kind of thing. So it was like Arcadia, the Golden City, Cinnabar Flats, Steel Harbor. And each one had their own superheroes. Some of which are more memorable than others. Some of which.
The ones you remember.
Yes, exactly. Well, some of them have lived on unexpectedly and some have just disappeared without trace.
Yeah.
Some of them crossed over, like Dark Horse had the Mask license for a while.
Right,
The Mask met a number of these characters.
Sure.
But some of them have appeared, some of them disappeared without trace. So Arcadia was like, was pretty much, was kind of the Gotham, was like all corrupt politicians and like organized crime and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a character called Ghost. I'll show you some photos.
Show me
and I'll
a picture.
See if so that's Ghost right there.
Can't really see that from here. It's just like a blue smear.
Oh, I think you might have severe visual impairment.
What would I type in to see that?
Dark Horse Ghost, probably. And she's kind of like a woman who believed she had died but come back as a ghost, but it was...
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a bit Spider-Gwen, the costume.
Yeah, a little bit, but many years beforehand, and she had a couple of blazing 45 automatics, and she could, you know, turn invisible and walk through walls and stuff like that.
So she had some ghost powers.
She did have some ghost powers, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm.
By Spider-Gwen, I mean she's got a hood. That's the similarity.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
White costume spider. Costume, yeah, but and
I like that design.
But of course, again, she thought she was killed by she thought she was killed and resurrected by a ghost. But of course, it was the 90s, so her powers were the result of a nanovirus.
Of course,
back in the day, but an alien nanovirus, if I recall.
Well, that was I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's We also had X, who was kind of like
it's got the X over his face.
Yeah, again, so. It's kind of a Spawn-esque, mysterious. One of the mysteries of this whole Comics Greatest World was, who is X? Who is he? Because you never see his face. Spoiler alert, I can't remember who he was. I don't think it was significant. In fact, I think I remember looking it up several times and going, I don't know who this guy is. So
this probably means something to someone.
Yeah, but not me. I don't know. Totally. Okay, so we had Steel Harbor, which was like... I can't think. Again, they're all a little bit Gotham City. But sure. It was kind of like it was
the docks.
It was just imagine all the docks. It was like that, or like
sort of waterfront city.
Yeah, kind of a waterfront kind of city, like pollution and just all crumbling warehouses and factories and like it was kind of like more of a it was like a post-apocalyptic world where there was no apocalypse.
Sure,
it was just. Rule of law, kind of wild, wild, wild west. Now, the standout character from Steel Harbor was, of course, the very memorable Barb Wire.
Oh, this is that universe.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Right. Now, I never saw that movie.
Uh-huh.
Does she have powers or something?
No, she's just a real tough broad.
I see.
She's... Barb Wire is probably the most famous... escapee from Comics Greatest World because she had the movie with... Pamela Lee, Pamela Anderson Lee, whatever she was at the time.
Yeah. Who got the real barbed wire tattoo.
Yeah, she did,
I don't know whether that was
That's
related.
That's right,
but yeah.
So if you recall, barbed wire was, she is a tough as nails bar owner, and she doesn't take no crap from nobody.
I wouldn't
and
think so.
You don't call her babe, because that's the worst thing you can do, because she's, she's a strong, independent woman. And the opening scene of that movie is... her in her bar.
Everybody knows this.
On like a trapeze swing in a leather dress being hosed down as like some sort of performance piece. While the cameo song Word Up, but a cover by her husband Tommy Lee.
Oh, not the Korn version?
No. By Tommy Lee is
amazing.
Playing. And it's real weird. And I could not tell you the rest of the plot of the movie for $1 million. I have seen it, but who knows?
That is great.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a bit Harley Quinn. She's got the baseball bat. I'm seeing some of
these pictures. Yeah, she's a little bit Harley Quinn. She's a little bit, I guess, Tank Girl.
Yeah.
It's that kind of universe, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So that's not a terrible character, though, is that right?
In the comic books, not a terrible
character.
Yeah,
that's right. I should have specified.
Right.
I remember this barbed wire outfit, but the Pamela Anderson one. Yep. That is something else.
Mm-hmm.
What, Tank Girl wasn't in this universe?
No.
Okay.
You would think so. She's very much got that look,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. Mm. Who else existed in this weird universe?
That people would remember? Let me think.
Not necessarily.
No, look.
I'll tell you this though, Mason, while you're thinking about it.
Okay.
Barbed wire is an Australian invention. It's an Australian invention.
Oh, it is too, yeah.
There you go.
We know somebody involved in the production of Comics Greatest World.
Oh, we do too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll talk about that later. Well, I certainly hope we did it justice.
I can't say how we didn't.
No, we didn't. Cinnabar Flats was like a kind of a Salt Flats kind of like a Utah kind of Area 51 kind of universe.
Right.
It was home to this character called the Vortex, who, again, released that nanovirus in the 40s. And, all sorts of... It was more a... It was sort of like an Area 51 no-go kind of like zone. It was like, this place is off limits because it's just filled with just swarms of monsters and just crazy.
So that interests me.
Yeah. Golden City was basically like a utopia, but with a seedy underbelly.
Oh.
Well, not really. I mean, it was just...
It was a pretty good place.
Mostly, but there was like... It's sort of that universe where it's like the elite live in these ivory towers and people are like, oh my God, if we want to thrive in this world in America, we should go there. And it's kind of like, you know...
Gotcha.
There was like a squatter city, I think.
Yeah.
And it's sort of... The city had barricaded itself off from the rest of the world. And like the government's like, what's going on in this city? Like, we don't trust it, kind of.
We don't like your big walls.
Yeah, so it was like, it was kind of like, yeah, it was kind of this universe where it's this city where it's like, you know, it's this golden utopia, but it's all going to come crashing down kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't think it really lasted long enough for it to come crashing down.
Okay. So is this also a case of sales and just bad timing in terms of like, did the comic book kind of crash happen? And then
I also feel at the time, Most of the, again, we're talking about Speculator Mania. Most of the titles were cancelled after that ended.
Right.
And I think it might, and I don't think it was a case of like, well, we got to, you know, why bother making these if we're not going to make everybody millionaires or whatever. I think it was just a case of, you know, the comic book industry crashed.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we got to cancel this. We can't keep making comics.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
What else is on your list of things?
Oh, continuity comics. That's one of this was one of my favorites as a kid.
Because it's bad?
Well, I mean, it's bad now.
Sure.
But continuity comics was the brainchild of Neil Adams.
Okay.
Who we know for two things.
Yep.
Number one, 1970s shirtless Batman.
Yeah.
Hairy-chested shirtless Batman keeps the mask on.
Fighting with a curved sword.
Always fighting with a curved sword. But he was like the premier Batman writer and artist in the 70s. Like an incredible kind of pseudo photorealistic kind of style.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What year was this? Sorry.
Batman.
No, this particular era.
They started in 80. Continuity Comics started.
What year was Batman? What year did they do all the Batman?
There's no way of knowing. Continuity Comics started in, I think, 1984.
Okay.
But it didn't do a lot for a while, and then it kicked off sort of in the 90s.
Right.
But it was. So Neil Adams, known for two things: Batman artist back in the day, that great look. But also, he's that guy. He's the guy who believes that Earth is hollow and expanding.
Yes, and which I only found out recently.
Right, me too. Right,
there are people who think that the world is hollow and filled with monsters.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. There's another civilization that lives in there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and it's slightly expanding all the time.
Oh no, or good, depending on what
bad.
You think.
Yeah, right. And so, and Neil Adams also he's one of those guys who's big on creators' rights and stuff like that, which I think is one of the reasons
Fantastic.
He started the universe.
Yeah,
which is great. But also, he created continuity comics, and so he didn't write.
He's done a lot of good things.
Yes,
and this
and also continuity comics. It is a very interesting universe because everybody had to adopt the artistic style of Neil Adams.
That's a difficult thing.
It is very
to do,
like
isn't
it's
it?
A very interesting. If you didn't know any better, if they took all the cover credits off, you would assume that he wrote and drew all of these.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really? So they actually did a good job.
They're
at
quite
kind
good.
Of
and I think he also went in and he retouched a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And he
gave it that Neil Adams flourish.
Yeah, exactly. And
that
he
Hollow
kind
Earth
of
flood it flourish.
Oh boy. And he sort of he would. You know, work on the scripts of everything, and like he kind of
so he oversaw the whole
thing. Yeah, he oversaw the kind of whole thing.
Did he finance this? Who did this? Like, cause that's a
I think he had before this he had a studio called Continuity Associates, and he worked with like another guy from DC called Dick Giordano,
right?
And I think that sort of kicked off a lot of careers, and I think maybe he made a lot of money from that. And so Continuity Comics was basically his vanity project.
Why do you think all these didn't work or didn't take off, and then you got something like Image that did? What's the difference?
That's a really good question, because...
I should have saved that till after the last
one. No, that's good. I was going to say, because Continuity Comics, like... Because
there's names behind these, do you know what I mean? There's names and there's talent and there's good ideas a lot of the time.
Well, that is a good question. Maybe it might even just be marketing. I mean, when Image Comics came out, everybody knew about Image.
Yeah.
But not everybody knew about Continuity Comics.
No.
As an example.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, like, in terms of The 90s were good for a couple of things, like very dynamic art, which was not necessarily good. It was just big and splashy.
Sure.
Terrible dialogue.
Right.
Pouches. Pouches of, yeah.
Gun belts.
Gun belts, gore and violence. Just nonsensical dialogue.
Yeah.
And like...
flowy capes.
Image had all that stuff. Continuity also had all that stuff. You know what? One thing might have been consistency. Like,
right.
Continuity comics, despite the name... did not really operate continuously. So there was one particularly one that I remember. There was a series called Armor,
yeah,
which was about two brothers and they were abducted by aliens, and one was sent to work in the mines, the alien mines, and one was sent as a gladiator style warrior, and they were both given superpowers. And the one who was sent
to work in a mine,
yeah, like laser cutty powers. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
It was a bad idea. Look, the whole thing was a bad idea because the one
they
who
should
was,
have said, "Here's a shovel, mate."
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing. And the one who was sent to go in the gladiator battles, he was called Armor.
Yeah.
And the one who was sent to work in the mines, he was given the name Silver Streak, which isn't really a good. That's not really a good mining name. Now that I think about it,
his name
anyway.
Should have
so
been
Armor.
Mine.
This story about this super violent armored guy.
Were they kidnapped as adults or kids and then raised
kids
in these? Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
Anyway, Armor released was 13 issues, I think, all up over 7 years. Right? That took you a minute even to comprehend, right?
I did. My brain kind of
skipped a beat. You went, oh, 7 months, that's quite good. Oh, no, wait, it's the bigger one. Yeah.
Because people complain when, okay, for example, The Dark Knight 3 is coming out and they miss months.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And people lose their shit. But 13 issues out of
right, exactly.
Seven,
so
how do you even remember the continuity of that?
Continuity comics.
Good.
Yeah.
God. Was it worth it in the end?
I really like the art.
There was
no, I'm sure it wasn't. Continuity comics also brought out, we've mentioned it before, Crazy Man, which is a character you could never release these days.
Isn't he just crazy?
He's just crazy. He's just a guy who's very, and he's like comically crazy, and like he switches between like violent raging and like simpering in a corner kind of thing.
Sure.
And again, he's just. He's sort of a government agent, but they just drop him into a hot spot around the world and just wait for him to go crazy. And he's not like super strong, but he's uninhibited, so he seems stronger than he is.
Yeah.
He had a female sidekick, and there was like a running gag. This is the kind of level of violence you expect. There was a running gag where he would tear her eye out, and it happened more than once, I recall. Like it happened like... maybe
she then get it back?
Yeah, it was always the same eye. It was always the same character.
And then she'd have to go get it sewn back into it.
I guess so, yeah. I never recall if it was like a bionic eye or if it
right.
was... But it was that one of the... I think... it might have been... There were two kind of big bruiser kind of characters. There was Armor and another guy called Megalith. I think it was Armor again.
Yeah.
Where his hand gets cut off and then shredded in a blender. So it was that kind of... like, it was this weird mix of gore and just bizarre... I mean, the art was great.
Sure.
Right?
You
know what also probably killed continuity comics? Again, speculated madness, but it was...
probably the sales of 13 comics over 7
right,
years,
yeah.
I'd imagine.
And also, but also, if you look at, like, a collected works... because I remember a few years ago, I'm like, I'm going to read all of continuity. I'm going to give it another whirl.
Is there a lot of it?
Not really.
Doesn't
no.
sound like there would
there's
be.
A couple,
yeah.
There's 100-ish maybe issues.
That's not that.
But
much,
that's the thing. Like I'm like, I'll try and track them down. And there's so many storylines that never finished. And they're like, there was two big major storylines that were like 20 issues each. That were multiple like crossed over through every series. There's one called Death Watch 2000, and there was one called The Reign of Magic, I think. And those both went. I'm pretty sure they both went 19 issues, and then the last one just never came out. So you'd have to cross over and read all of these issues,
yeah.
And then finally never happened. And like again, there's like dead ends this continuity, so it'd be like, as happened in Death Watch 2000 issue 20, and you'd go, did that come out? Like, and there's precious little information. So I think. Maybe at the time they were like, oh, that's definitely going to come out, so we'll just refer to it here.
Yeah.
And it never really did.
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
So this went for, what, 10 years?
Technically it was like 84 to 94.
Okay.
But I think the
it was done before.
Yeah, like I think
the bulk of the damage was done.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And also they also did the that's what I was saying. So like I went back to it and I looked up like, oh, here's the whole bibliography, like all of them together. And like there's so many, there'll be like one particular series and there'll be 6 issues. But they all have each of them has 5 variant covers. So there'll be like a hologram cover, and there'll be like a chrome plated cover, and there'll be a glow in the dark cover, and there'll be trading cards. And there was one point they had covers made out of Tyvek, which is like this.
What's Tyvek?
It's like they make like postage bags out of it. It's supposedly indestructible. It's that weird white tough stuff, you know what I'm talking about?
Is it like a cloth or a mesh? What are we?
Somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
But it's like, they're like, our comic covers are indestructible now, right? What a weird gimmick.
Why?
At one point, one of the gimmicks was like a hypercolor kind of cover. Where it was like, you put your hand on it and warm it up and you'll see the villain for this. You'll see the secret villain or whatever. And nobody could ever get them to work.
No, I'd imagine.
They did those, I guess, I don't know, what do you call them? Like stereoscopic covers where you look at the massive like colors and shapes and then eventually something pops out at you.
Oh, like the magic eye.
Kind of situation. Oh, there was a lot of those. Look, I would say, look, don't go back because it makes no sense. If you just want to read one, just a quick burst of insanity.
Yeah.
There was a series, I think it was only 7 issues maybe. It was called Cyber Rad. So 90s. And it was basically a guy, he was like a metalhead rocker guy. Like imagine like skinny jeans and like denim vest with no shirt.
Cyber Rad, I'm looking this up.
Cyber Rad to us.
Of course it is.
And like feathered hair with like a feathered mullet with like a white streak through it. Anyway, he loses his memory. He wakes up one day, he's missing a whole bunch of memory, and he's been replaced with his body's been replaced with a whole bunch of cyborg parts.
Right.
And like, it makes zero sense. And like, he's being pursued by a killer robot.
Oh, look at that hair.
It makes no sense, but the art is incredible. And like, he's got all these cybernetic weapons and stuff like that.
I can see that type of cover where you touch it and it changes. Right. Or it's like a holographic tilt cover
something. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is very... it's kind of upsetting. I feel like I'm going to get a seizure looking at this. But you reckon to get a taste of that universe?
Yeah, if you want to track down... Like, again, the art is great.
Yeah.
But again, you will... None of that you will... If you read any of these, you will not get any kind of finale out of any of these because they're all...
Just know that going in. Yeah. It's very unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Probably don't bother.
Oh, look at that holographic cover.
Yeah.
Man, so good.
Is there another one there? Or is that
There's
the last
one more. I didn't really look into... Well, I mean, I'm like, I'm so... This was my favorite one, so I don't even have to look into it. But then I'm like, I should probably look into it. Remember the Milestone universe?
Yes, I remember.
So Milestone was... I want to say Black DC, but that's not fair. Like it's
right.
But like, you know that like DC is like a very... Like it's a super white universe,
sure
right?
It is, yeah.
And I guess they were like, well, we need comics that have more, I guess, like minority representation... Like that, I think, because it was founded by the late Dwayne McDuffie and Dennis Cowan and a couple of other people.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, well, minorities are severely, underrepresented in American comics.
Sure.
So let's make this. But it was weird to me, like, it was an imprint of DC, but it wasn't, they weren't like, okay, let's incorporate all these characters into the mainstream DC.
It was a separate
universe, which is weird, right?
But some of these characters...
It was a segregated universe.
But some of these characters have crossed over, like Static Shock is obviously...
It's just Static. I just want
Sorry,
to be clear.
Sorry, I've made that mistake before. People call him Static Shock, though.
That's true, they do, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's obviously, you know, he transcends time and space and race, doesn't
That's
he?
That's true, he does,
Jaden
yeah.
Smith but, might but play him in a movie.
Yeah, but essentially Milestone, the universe, it was set in this, for the most part, it was set in this fictional city called Dakota, which was like, again, sort of a Gotham City-style thing. And basically, the government... at
Bloody
the time
government.
Yeah, exactly, they try to suppress a riot with this experimental gas and it creates the event called the Big Bang, which gives a whole bunch of people superhuman powers. And there's also some aliens arriving from other planets. There's a guy who builds a super suit.
Well, this is all very coincidental.
It's very coincidental, right? But you know what, Milestone was really good.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
I would recommend seeing how much you can track down of this. Yeah, they eventually crossed over in the DC Universe in an event called Worlds Collide.
Yeah, someone's fighting Superman here.
Is it Icon? Has he got a cape on?
I cannot see.
Okay, great.
It's a green cape if he's wearing
that's,
a cape.
That is Icon. That is Icon. So yeah. Icon was a guy called Augustus Freeman. He arrived on Earth during... he arrived in America during the time of slavery. And right. his... sort of like Superman, but he arrived as an adult.
Yeah.
And kind of his computer's like... his spaceship's technology kind of adjusted to look like the closest human at the time,
right,
who was an African-American guy. And so he was sort of subject to slavery and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so he eventually became Augustus Freeman, freed slave.
Gotcha.
And then he's incredibly long-lived, so he sort of survived to...
Did he kind of keep a low profile until the 90s?
Yes, he did, yeah. But, and also he always claimed to be... his own son.
Right.
So he eventually became Augustus Freeman III, I think, or the fourth.
Gotcha, yep.
And so he got a sidekick called Rocket. He gave her a piece of his alien technology. She gained superpowers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy called Hardware.
Does he actually look like something else?
Yeah, he's kind of a Martian Manhunter looking guy.
Right, okay.
But generally speaking, he can't change back.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, so he's the equivalent of the Superman in this universe.
Yeah.
We had...
That's a pretty interesting... I like that backstory.
It's a great backstory. Yeah. And we had a guy... Curtis Metcalf is the guy. He was like a sort of a technology prodigy.
Mm.
And he's, you know, raised by this... this technology company CEO, and then, you know, he makes all these innovations for the company, and then he's like, hey, can I get a better piece of this
profit
or whatever? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, ooh. And then he looks into the guy, and it turns out the guy's like, you know, criminal mastermind, et cetera, et cetera. So he builds a suit of technology to kind of fight back, and he becomes Hardware.
Okay,
and
sure.
That's a real good series. That was probably my favorite.
How long did this go for?
50 issues, probably. Like four years, maybe? Something like that.
Okay.
Hmm.
So what... But it's actually well regarded and goes somewhere and finishes sort of somewhat.
I agree.
No, I don't know. I'm saying. I'm
asking. It does. Yeah, yes. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Founded 93. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. And obviously, Static Shock, the name of the comic.
Static. It was originally just called Static. Oh. And then there we go. And then there was a relaunch, and it was the comic book, the cartoon series he was in was called Static Shock.
Yes.
And then they're like, well, this is quite popular. Let's bring him into the DC Universe proper, and then the series was called Static Shock.
It says here that there's a limited series in 2010 called Milestone Forever.
Yep.
And in January 2015, they haven't decided whether Milestone has officially begun publishing new content, but they're hoping to.
I'm all for that,
but
actually.
I don't know. It doesn't look like they've gone beyond that.
Mm.
So, interesting. So out of all these universes, would you say this is the one
This is the best one, I think.
But the one that you should read if you're going to choose any?
Yes. I mean, there's the most issues to get through,
right.
But I think it's the highest quality. It's got the best creators. They all had a chance to evolve naturally, I think.
Right.
Nobody involved in the creation was a lunatic, so that's a bit of a bonus.
Publicly.
Yeah, that's probably true. And again, it was a comic book universe that had some minority representation. You had like black and Latino characters, and like there was a Korean character called Zombie,
right.
Again, was infected by nanotechnology and then he couldn't die. It was pretty good. It was the 90s.
Of course.
Yeah.
I miss nanotechnology.
Me too, right?
Remember that TV show where that guy could go invisible, but he'd have to get the nanotechnology in him to go invisible?
The Invisible Man?
Yeah, it was like a newer one though, because he was like a criminal, but he was...
Yeah,
like
I remember that, yeah. And it had that guy in it.
Yeah, it did.
That famous B-list smug guy.
Yeah, he was so smug.
He was so smug all the time, and he was in every show in the 90s, but I could not tell you for the life of me what his name was.
He was probably in an episode of The Pretender.
Hmm.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Mm. Is that all of it? Is that all she bloody wrote?
Think of a fun fact about bloody the.
By think of a fun fact, you mean see what you've got there and then say a fun fact that you just.
Yeah,
read.
Sure, yeah. But I don't have anything here, so that would have helped. Yeah, low sales, though. That did it in. That's often the case.
Well, they don't cancel things with high sales, do they?
No, that's true. Or with regular publication schedules. Sure. You know?
Were they pretty good at getting these things kind of going? Like, was it pretty consistent, it sounds like?
Yeah, and I think they had, you know, DC's blessing and their marketing machine behind it, at least to some degree, so.
Good stuff.
Mm.
All right. Well, do you know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
It's time for the segment of the show called What We're Reading.
Ooh. Oh, what are we going to read? Got distracted for a moment.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today?
What are you reading?
What I read? Well, tomorrow I'm going to go see X-Men Apocalypse, which I haven't seen yet.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about it next week.
Yes.
But I've also started watching Lady Dynamite on Netflix.
Is that the Chelsea Peretti? No.
It's Maria Bamford.
Maria Bamford, that's right.
Stand-up comedian Maria Bamford.
You're a big fan of her.
I am a big fan of her. Yeah. I saw her when she was here in town a while back. Mm. Yeah, she's great.
And is it a good show?
I've only watched like 10 minutes of it so far, but it starts out with madness,
right?
And it seems to be going.
Is it surreal?
It starts out quite surreal, but that's a dream sequence,
right?
So yet to be for me, it's yet to be seen whether that's going to continue or
Even if it's good.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
there's no way of knowing. Ultimately.
There is no way.
But
of
again,
knowing.
I pay my $10 a month. So
yeah, what do you care?
It's free. You know?
What do you bloody care? Yeah. Okay.
What are you reading this week?
Well, I was just going to say I caught X-Men Apocalypse.
I should say that first 10 minutes was very funny.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So there was a lot in it. It was packed with
action,
silliness, but I.
But you liked it.
Had a good stuff.
Yeah, I saw X-Men Apocalypse. But for people asking, we're gonna the X-Men Days of Future Past commentary should be out around the same time as this.
Yeah.
If all goes well, we were gonna do it last week. We didn't get the opportunity, but we'll try and get that done. So even if you've seen Apocalypse, you can maybe go back and check it out. Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. That's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it'd be a pretty good primer. In fact, what I'm probably gonna do is do the commentary and then immediately go and see
bloody X-Men Apocalypse. So
Work out well for me, if no one else.
Are you excited for X-Men Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll be interested to know what you think about it. And we will discuss that at a later date next week when we do that episode on X-Men Apocalypse next week.
Talk about it next week on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have we got another section of the show?
Maybe.
Bloody Wi-Fi.
I know, right?
Down.
Your bloody Wi-Fi. It sounded to me again. Classic one was the letters. Oh, letters. We love you. Some letters. They're only a day away. Hang on, they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
You got three in a row.
Yep.
You're back to square one, mate.
Oh, no.
So the record is three.
Yeah, good.
So for those who don't know, Mason plays the letters theme through the phone because I refuse to edit it in, even though it'd be very easy for me to do so.
Yep. Wait a minute.
All right, I got some letters here. By letters, I mean tweets, because that's the best way to contact this show. Hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
We'll find it.
You throw that out there, we'll bloody get it, and we'll read three of them out, won't we, Mason?
At least three. Just three.
This is from Chase_Brinkman. Who would you guys cast to play...
That's a great name, by the way.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who would you guys cast to play J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man Homecoming? Obviously, you can't choose... what's his face?
The greatest man alive, J.K. Simmons.
Yes. Do you do the opposite? Do you go with Gary Oldman? Do you do the old switcheroo?
Ooh, maybe because they've made Aunt May young and sexy, they should make Jonah Jameson young and sexy.
How young, how sexy?
Channing Tatum.
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher, right? Yeah.
Sure. Well, a lot of people have thrown this out there. This isn't my idea, but I really like it. Ice Cube.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. I can see him saying, because
you look at
the Spider-Man.
You look at him in 21 Jump Street, he's got that angry chief.
That's very
kind
true,
of,
yeah.
You know, personality. Yeah. He does anger real well.
I would also choose him if they did a live action version of Inside Out. He could be anger as well.
Sure.
Because he's got the head for it.
He
right?
does have the head.
For that it. Would be very good. I like the idea of Ice Cube.
Yeah. It's a tough role to cast. I think I don't know how you do it. How do you follow it up?
Yeah.
They didn't even attempt it in the Amazing Spider-Man universe because I'm just like, how can we?
That's true. You know, we didn't talk about it. Did this happen this week? Daniel Craig is definitely out of
James Bond. That was one of the Twitter questions I had.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to do that one
next
now?
One? Yeah, let's talk about the next
one.
Yeah.
This is from SavvySavvy1313.
Yep.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Not as good a name as Chant Brykman or whatever.
No,
it was,
if we're comparing, which we are. Mm-hmm. So now that Daniel Craig is no longer James Bond, who would you like to see in the next movie? My pick would be Luke Evans. Now, Daniel Craig was offered something like $68 million to
yes,
do another
he was,
two.
Yeah. yeah.
And he
Might
went,
have been 68 million pounds.
It probably, yeah.
I don't know, something,
very
something
well
crazy.
Brain. Whatever it is.
Yep.
He said, no, thank you. I'm taking my potatoes and I'm my potato-shaped head and I'm out of here.
I'll stick my dick in a bear trap, he said. And he didn't say that, but it was close.
It was implied by him turning down 68 million pounds.
Right.
I'm not surprised. Mm. I'm okay with him leaving. I guess it's probably about that time.
I mean, he had the three and, well, we had four.
He had four,
But it was an arc and he completed the arc.
He met his brother.
I think they knew that
he had
was on
one.
The way out.
I think he had one more to do.
He did, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but he was just like, and I can understand, they could have made him do it, but I can understand they would have gone, look,
Spectre, imagine that. Imagine those shooting days.
Like, Spectre didn't do super well, like, financially. Yeah. Now's probably the time to...
I mean, they used all that printer ink in that final scene where the bad guy prints off all his Bond's victims and
just in black
up.
And white, though. Yeah. Do you have any names in particular? A lot of people... Tom Hiddleston is apparently the top contender.
I wouldn't mind Hiddleston. Didn't Daniel Craig say he would like to see a woman, if we're talking about...
How would that work, though?
Doesn't matter. You know what I would say? Because he said, like, oh, get a woman. I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I think, because people will be like, I'll make a Jane Bond. I disagree.
Yeah.
Some people said Emily Blunt. I think that would be a great one.
So we're not talking like this person is James Bond. Are we talking like a different spy?
No, I'm saying make her James Bond. Like, I'm not even kidding. I think you should just go Emily Blunt is James Bond 007. Like, just double down on people hating it and just go, what are you going to do? Because there's no... You can even just refer to her as Bond. Like, it wouldn't
sure,
make
yeah,
difference.
Yeah.
You just plug her into the existing, like, with the same Q and the same M and, you know, Ben Whishaw and bloody Ray Fiennes.
Yeah, I wonder
Ray
if they're
going to
keep all that, yeah.
I think it'd be fine. Like, because why not? Who cares?
I think a lot of people will care.
I think so too, but I don't care about them. But see, the thing is, like, I've thought about it the other day. I really like the James Bond franchise.
Even though most of them are shit.
Correct. Like, there's funny ones and there's dour ones and there's ridiculous ones and there's serious ones or whatever.
Yeah.
Overall, I think it's a fun kind of cultural artifact. Like, all these movies all together.
Very of the time.
Yeah. But of the last 10, I like 2 of them. I like...
GoldenEye?
I like GoldenEye and I like Casino Royale. The rest I can give a, you know, I can take or leave.
Sure.
So for me, it doesn't... I don't care one way or the other. But even if I did really like him, I'm like, who cares? Make, what you could do...
Is it that whole secret agent swap out thing? Where you're like, now you're the new James Bond.
No, I think they just don't. I think they just they say Emily Blunt is... Emily Blunt is James Bond 007. They never refer to the name. They never refer to her as being a woman.
Right.
So they go... Nobody ever goes, oh, James is a funny name for a girl or whatever. Or I never wouldn't expect a woman to do this kind of work or whatever. It's just never referred to. It's the same thing. She just dresses... the way a female version of Bond would dress.
Sure.
And she just kicks in doors and breaks people's necks or whatever. Because people are like, you know, people, it's always like, oh, a woman couldn't do that. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do it. Like, Daniel Craig couldn't do any of the things in...
No.
He's just real buff.
He's just full of human growth hormone.
Exactly. People are like, oh, a woman can do that. No, like, and again, if you got like... In a fist fight between Ronda Rousey, UFC fighter, and actor Daniel Craig,
sure.
That fight would last 1 second.
Yeah.
But you look at Daniel Craig on screen as James Bond and you go, oh, he's a tough, cool, suave guy.
Yeah.
Because
what's with his weird head?
Yeah, he looks like a potato.
He looks like he's been punched a lot.
Just a potato in a bag being swung around a corridor. But like the reason you buy him as James Bond is because he's had all the mystique and all the skill set or whatever wrapped around him.
Right.
You can do that to anyone.
Yeah.
You can do it to Emily Blunt or whoever. Just put it.
I wouldn't say anybody. Like, there's certain people you couldn't put in that role.
Either of us.
But certainly. Mm. Whatever.
Yeah.
If they want to do it.
Yeah.
I think they're building, as I've said before, I think they're building to a female Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that's gonna be coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, do it. Whatever.
I just want to see a whole bunch of people real mad.
Well, that's really the point, isn't it? That's the most important thing in the world.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
As long as the movie's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right. I don't give a shit. Mm. This is from Riley Escrema, one word, on Twitter, # Weekly Planet Pod, branding, synergy.
Oh, yeah, good.
Do you guys have any collectibles? If so, what are your favourites?
Well, I mean, we've got all sorts of amazing collectibles from Geek Fuel and
certainly
and
we do.
Looks great. Our amazing sponsors. I don't collect a lot of stuff. I have a lot of Optimus Primes.
Yeah, you do.
For whatever reason, like, I loved Transformers as a kid, and I got rid of I gave away a whole bunch of stuff, but I kept all the Transformers. So I have like original like diecast Optimus Prime. I have like the Power Master Optimus Prime, which had the like the engine you plugged in, which was a little man turned into an engine. You plugged in the engine.
That's cool.
And then you got the trailer and you opened it up and it became like his legs and you could transform into a real big Optimus Prime.
That's sweet.
That was pretty sweet.
How many Optimus Primes do you have?
Not that many now that I think
like
about
5?
It. I have Action Master Optimus Prime, which is the Optimus Prime that doesn't transform for some reason. I have the Masterpiece Optimus Prime, which is the Japanese one. I mean, they're all Japanese, but it's the one that looks exactly like the cartoon version.
Right.
through some weird, arcane, super complicated transformation. Sure. It looks exactly like the truck version, and it looks exactly like the robot version.
Yeah, because the other versions generally don't.
The original Optimus Prime looks real weedy. He's not impressive. He's smaller
little arms.
Yeah, he's smaller than most other Transformers. Yeah, I've got all those. There'll probably be other ones that'll...
You got the new one, the Michael Bay one, with the flames down the side?
No.
Really?
No.
That's very interesting. Mm. I don't collect anything because this house that I'm in at the moment, this is a rental, and I don't feel the point in setting up anything or buying
except
anything.
The man cave, obviously.
Obviously, that goes everywhere.
But that's all one piece. Everything's attached to like a whole bunch of bits of string and a ring pull. So if you have to leave real quick, what you do is you just hook the end to your monster truck. Your lowered monster truck, and then you just drive off, and it just drags
it all
folds with you.
In. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. But I graphic novels or story arcs that I really like, I buy. But that being said, I always lend them out, so I think I have none of them at the moment.
Yeah, I have your Old Man Logan.
That's all right. Everybody's got everything of mine. Uh-huh. It doesn't really matter. But no, I don't. I you know what I do want to get? I want to get a sweet Daredevil statue.
Yeah.
And I want to get a Superman Kingdom Come designed.
Great,
kind of statue thing as well, but I think I'll wait till I get a place or whatever.
Said that I'd like to collect the Batman black and white statuettes.
Yes.
Which is all the Batman statuettes in the style of various famous and well-regarded artists that have drawn him.
Yep.
But there's so many of them and they're like $300 each.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's like, at this point, it's like a $30,000 investment.
Mm.
And I couldn't just have one. I'd need all of them.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. I do like, though, when you go to somebody's place and you see... They've got collectibles. Like, I like looking at other people's collectibles.
Yeah.
But I don't want the hassle of kind of having them myself. Still, Saunders, for example, has got that sweet Star Wars case of all the original toys, which I really like. So I like... My brother's got the one that you don't like. Has a whole lot of, like,
you.
Lord of the Rings figures. I think he's got, like, all of them, maybe.
Okay.
And, like, so he's got, you know, and they're pretty cool to look at. But, no, I'm not a big... You know, when I buy something, I have something, I put it down and it never moves. So that's why that hammock is still in here.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I'm just...
That's not a fun little improv. There is actually a hammock.
There's literally a hammock. We've talked about it before. Yeah. One day I'll do something with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We could record in the hammock.
We definitely could. We could both get in. We could top and tail and just play.
I don't like the idea of that. Get two hammocks if you could.
No.
All right.
All right. I think that's the show, though.
That's the show, I think, yeah.
So, like we said, next week, X-Men. If you are interested, hopefully that X-Men commentary, check below. If it's linked below, that means it's up on our Patreon and it's up on the Bandcamp. So if you want to check out patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, that'll be there.
Yeah.
Before you sign up for that, if you haven't already, just double check it so you don't go there and it's not there. So if it's linked below, it means I've already put it up.
Nice.
Bandcamp, was it weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp.com
or also weeklyplanetpod on Gmail and Facebook and Twitter.
That's right.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
What else is there? T-shirts, courtesy of Golden Legend and Fergie Quigley. They're on Redbubble.
They are.
Anything else? There's an Amazon affiliate link sometimes.
Yeah,
if we can remember it.
Link down there, if I remember. Yeah. Actually, really good stuff. Like, we only kind of endorse things that we don't hate.
That's true.
That's a fact.
That is legitimately, like, some people will be like, hey, do you want to promote this thing? And we're like, okay, but if it's not good, we're not going to say it's good.
That's right. We've got an upcoming Netflix show that we might be spruiking, but
right.
We're going to wait till we see a couple to whether we decide to do it. Otherwise, we'll be honest. We'll be like, listen, if it's crap, you'll know about it.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'll do it, I think. We always forget something, but...
We never forget anything. That's the thing about this show.
Great.
We're always on point.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
always very factual, informative. Never put a foot wrong.
Constantly put a foot wrong.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. But we're never in the right lane. It's a metaphor.
Oh.
And also driving.
Yeah.
it's very confusing.
Where we live, that would be dangerous.
It's certainly true. Mm. All right. Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Grab that gym, you guys.
Grab it.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.